Halfway home on a Friday, 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Going until 10 o'clock. I'm Ben Higgins. Got Paul Reindl here. Stephen Woods is off. He will be back on Monday. Our thanks again to Matt Janella. Again, don't know how many in our audience, other than your wife, watch The Real Housewives of Orange County, but I thought it was a fascinating discussion of like the behind the scenes of reality TV that Maddie's been living here over the last 2.5-3 months. And you mentioned during the break, we forgot to bring up the major baseball connection.
Yes.
To the Real Housewives of Orange County, Paul.
I still don't exactly know all of the details, but woman who was dating the bookie in the Shohei Ohtani story, she's
one of the other cast members of the show. So
yes.
The guy who was the money guy bookie that was taking Ipe Mizuhara's bets, essentially. I don't know if he is on the show at all, but he's certainly dating and in a relationship with one of the women on The Real Housewives of Orange County.
I believe, and I'm sure the missus will be in the chat here to clarify, but I believe they probably were filming when all of that was going down.
Crazy.
So we'll see if that comes up. I don't know.
We mentioned Woods is doing his 3 concerts in 3 nights thing, but that's actually not why he missed the roundtable. Yesterday, he left the show and went right to see his son, Bo Woods, at the Manny Machado baseball camp. And saw some videos of that yesterday, Paulie. I mean, what a turnout for Manny.
It
turns out
nuts.
When you're a baseball superstar in a baseball-crazy town like San Diego and you hold a camp, you get a lot of kids to show up to that camp. But I had one moment where Bo actually got to swing, take a pitch off a little underhand lob from Manny Machado. But hey, anytime you get a chance to have one of your kids interact with Manny Machado,
I mean, it
that's
like got to
be a pretty special
kids
thing.
There.
Oh my God, it was looked crazy. Tier One Jocelyn was there. She said 480 kids,
holy,
and then there were all the parents who stuck around to see what was going on and keep an eye out. But I saw Jocelyn mentioned in the chat, and I heard I think Gwen and Chris talking about it yesterday that Manny brought like boxes of Topps baseball cards, like 20 packs for every single one of the kids
in
the camp, as well as just kind of little added bonus, which I thought was really cool of Manny to do. And it looked like Bo had a really good time. Of course, we'll get the full story on Monday morning from Woods when he comes back.
Just a bunch of little kids running around with number 13 on their back. It looked awesome. I'm pulling up the video right now. It looked like Bo. So, yeah, I guess every kid kind of lined up, and Manny just lobbed them an underhand pitch. And I think Bo might have pimped it.
A little bit. I mean,
in typical Bo Woods,
you know, it's like one of those playground-style games where you're batting, but there's, you know, 38 fielders out in the field. So there's really no way to get a hit, and he hit one in the air. And actually, like, 4 fielders tried to converge on it to catch it, but
right.
Of course, they all ran into each other, and it fell. So he ended up at first base.
He had like a little hitch in his step, a little Fernando Tatis Woods there.
He was pimping it a little bit. He wanted to show Manny that he could do the Manny kind of lean back after he hit one,
right,
like his walk-off home run from 1 week ago. So, yeah, had a little
let's see, there's the pitch.
Extra little hop in his step. Yeah, there it is.
Tosses
everyone
the bat.
Everyone converges, misses, and Bo ends up at first base. Thinks he might take an extra base when the ball gets away, but no, he scampers back to first safely. So that was pretty cool. And you can see Woods. Now he's behind the chain link fence. He's trying to keep his distance. He did say, man, he stopped and said hello. He was driving by in a golf cart, and he saw Woods, and he said, hey, wait, hold on. I want to say hi to Woods. So,
That's
awesome. We do have the lifetime friendship contract, so Manny at least honored that with a personal hello to his lifetime friend, Stephen Woods, yesterday. But that's where Woodsy was yesterday, and then I think he was at the observatory last night, and supposedly heading into Hollywood for a couple of days, and we'll get all the stories on Monday. They usually are.
This is the part that part of the trip that you and I just couldn't wrap our heads around, that he's driving up to Hollywood
to drive
just
back,
to turn around and drive all the way back to Anaheim
for the show,
and then
back to Hollywood, and then the other show. And the funny thing is about a Woods vacation. I guarantee you this: on Monday morning, when he is here, like when I went on vacation last week, I don't really have that much in the way of stories to tell. My vacation went as my vacation. I planned it, relaxing by the pool, playing golf, eating too much food, and then coming home. Woods will have something bonkers that happens to him. He will meet...
I'm kind of the same way as you. I'll go on vacation. It's like, yeah, just I relaxed. I had a great time. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Woods will come back and be like, bro, so we were in this Uber for 45 minutes driving down to Anaheim. The guy was an extra in Die Hard. It was unbelievable.
Then we got back to our Airbnb. You'll never guess who knocked on the door. Robert De Niro is our next door neighbor. And then he came in.
He asked if he had any milk.
He will have like the craziest story. It's just a guarantee he will come back with whatever random crazy story happened to him.
The Dunder Mifflin guy on their honeymoon.
Yeah, of course.
I forget the name. And then he met
Andy
Buckley.
Andy Buckley, yes.
Yeah. And then we ran into Shia LaBeouf. Now, over Christmas break.
Like 17 times. Couldn't get away from him.
I was stalking him up at Lake Arrowhead. Like, Woods has a unique talent of pulling just the smallest detail and turning it into this amazing story that he's got such great storytelling abilities, but also really weird random stuff happens.
I mean, like, unpredictable. No way he could set it up. Like, he's not faking these things, but constantly. I don't know if it's just something about his personality or if he's just hyper aware of it. And he is definitely someone who observes the world around him really, really well. It's what makes him such a great host, storyteller. He's just good at it. But he's also, he's also never escapes being Woods. Like Jocelyn just wrote in the chat from the camp yesterday. She says, Woodsy was hesitant to pull the I'm Steven Woods, let me on the field card. I told him to do it. He got super sweaty and anxious, but then he did it. But he'll probably talk about how he didn't want to be that dad who, I kind of know Manny, can I go out there sort of dad, but ended up out there apparently. So I guess we'll find out about that on Monday as well. So, happy National Etch-a-Sketch Day to you, Paulie.
Same to you, my friend.
Did you have an Etch-a-Sketch growing up?
I did. I was not good at it.
No. Is anyone good at it?
Well, I mean, some people are because I've seen... you know who is? Mina Kimes on ESPN. She always has like a when she was on Around the Horn, she would always have like an Etch-a-Sketch behind her with some wild creative drawing.
You know what I could do on my Etch-a-Sketch? A rectangle.
A line.
A line. Anything that had to be curved or diagonal.
I never understood.
You had to turn both of the dials at like the exact same speed so they would go in like a diagonal way. Otherwise, it was just straight left, right, down, up, and that's all you could do on the Etch-a-Sketch.
Maybe for summer break next week where we really explore the space and branch out a little
Etch-a-Sketching?
Bit. We'll just do an Etch-a-Sketch competition segment. It'll be the worst radio we've ever heard because it'll just be guys, it'll just be quiet, it'll just be this.
Taking over from Radio Charades that time we did it. That might have been summer break as well. Shake, restart. You got to get it in the right spot, and then you shake it from where you want to. I mean, I have no idea. There are a couple of like Etch-a-Sketch artists who can create amazing things. I never figured out how they could do it for sure. It's also National Different Colored Eyes Day, which always makes me think of one baseball player in particular, Max Scherzer, who's got the two different colored eyes. It is, I mean, it's unnerving. There's nothing. It's just a genetic quirk, I think, but it is kind of unnerving to look at Max Scherzer and see the two different colored eyes. I wonder if that's part of the success.
Unless he's got like a contact in or something and he's doing it on purpose. He didn't choose that, and it's nothing to like make fun of, but yeah, that would kind of catch you off guard, I think.
A little bit, yeah. So anyway, I wanted to reset one of the topics we had in the roundtable yesterday, and that was... You look at the trade deadline coming up, and usually the question around the trade deadline is, all right, who should the Padres go after? What needs do they have? Who are you willing to trade? Are you willing to trade DeVries and Salas, or do you want to hold on to your prospects? And those are all valid questions, but we kind of took it to the next level and said, okay, is it really worth it for the Padres to actually make a big deal at the trade deadline this year? Is this team good enough that one player or, a couple of pickups are going to make any difference whatsoever in the ultimate outcome of the season? And the reason I say that is, what are the possible outcomes for the year? Well,
You could do nothing. I mean, the best outcome is do nothing and still make the playoffs and make a run and win the World Series. Keep your prospects. Got the guys. They just play really well. But I think we all are realistic in
going. Does that seem likely to you?
I don't think that's really likely to happen. And even an optimistic Padres fan probably says, I don't think there's enough pitching depth on this team. They need some help. If they want that to be a realistic scenario, they need some help. So then you can go aggressive and you can say, all right, let's trade one or two of those top guys, Salas or DeVries, and try to bring in a top line type pitcher, Skubal, Crochet, add him to the rotation. All right, so now what happens? Probably, hopefully, they stay healthy. You win, a few more games than you would have. Will that be the difference between winning the division and a wild card? Probably not. You're probably not going to catch the Dodgers. So you're still, and Chris Ello made this point, you're still going to be a wild card in that scenario, even if you make an aggressive move. That's kind of the ceiling right now for the Padres. So you make an aggressive move. It works out. All right, you're a wild card team. Now you have to get through four rounds of the playoffs to win a World Series. Maybe that new pitcher helps you in the wild card series, wins one of the games, you advance to the next round. At some point, though, is it still enough to get all the way? Or are you simply trading prospects for the hope that you win three more games down the stretch and one more game in the playoffs? Or can it really make a difference and turn the Padres into a World Series contender? Because if it doesn't, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Well, it's weird because
Is it really that much more important that we get to the division series rather than the wild card? Is that worth trading a top prospect?
I lean towards looking at the guys that you have paid the big money to, and I'm not including Fernando because we still have plenty of years left in his prime. I'm talking more about Manny, Jake, you and Joe, who are big question marks already, but they're only going to get older. And everybody talks, we talk about the window all the time, the window of contending for a World Series title. And maybe that window stays open if you hold on to guys like DeVries and Salas, and they come up in two or three years and are playing at an all-star caliber level. Maybe that continues that window. But the guys that you banked on getting you to that window of contention, the guys like Manny, I don't want to wait around too many. I don't want to say it's a punt year because they're absolutely in the mix of things right now. But I lean towards being in favor of going all in, pushing all your chips forward, as long as we're in Manny, especially in his prime, before he becomes 35, 36, 37 years old.
I certainly understand that age argument. It's very valid that the older they get, the less likely you're going to get prime seasons out of these players. But that's not necessarily true for next year. This year, Manny was hurt all year long. And, right. And, you know, maybe he's coming around. Fernando Tatis Jr. was hurt literally all season and now is on the injured list for we don't know how long. I mean, if they think that Fernando's coming back in, you know, early August or whatever, okay, fine. You're going to have a superstar player. If they think it might linger deep into the season into September, now you're throwing more resources at a team that doesn't even have its full strength. What will Xander Bogaerts look like when he comes back? Is he going to look like Xander Bogaerts, or is he going to be the player that we saw that was hitting like 200 early in the season? It's possible next year, though, you have a healthy Manny, a healthy Tatis, you know, a bounce back Bogaerts. Maybe next year is the year to go after it more than this year.
And so, like, I'm looking in a Guz in the chat says, I say we run with what we've got, use our prospects for next year. Now, I don't know if he means, like, use our prospects on the major league team. I don't think either of them are on the major league squad next year, DeVries or Salas.
Use them, I think, more to acquire someone in the offseason to build up for a better run in 2025.
If you're able to go get somebody with control this year, that gives you an extra push, an extra postseason push, too, because if you go out and get, like, I'm looking at Skubal, right? Not a rental, 3 years of control. If you were just going to go try and get him in the offseason, you might as well just go and get him at this trade deadline, have him for the 2024 playoff push, and then still have him moving forward.
Guz makes another point that I want to address coming up as well. But he says, call me a pessimist. I don't think we can beat the Phillies. And you're right. This is not in a vacuum. You also have to look at the other teams. You may have one of your better teams, but if there are like juggernauts ahead of you, like the 1998 Yankees, it's not as wise to go all in if there's a team you think you can't beat. So I want to address that when we come back. I also want to open the phone lines. You know, Woods isn't here. If you want to join us and talk about whether you think the Padres should be pushing chips in or be more conservative here at the trade deadline, let me know what you think. 833-288-0973. Take some phone calls in our next segment. Still have a Rindle report coming up. And the manager, Mike Schilt, at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock in our manager's report. All coming up first to check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. A lot of tier ones in the chat still talking about last night's very stylish dinner on the diamond. But Padres players and their wives and girlfriends were wearing very, very nice outfits. That's for sure. I'll say, if the Padres play as good as they looked last night, they will have no problems beating the Braves or any other team. They looked spectacular last night. Looked like a really cool event at Petco Park with over $1 million raised for the Padres Foundation and the Peter Seidler Legacy Project.
It was cool. You know, I feel like we don't have a ton of publicized red carpet events in San Diego. And even
no,
for something,
because they have all of those up in L.A. and we want to be different. So
right.
We don't do the L.A. red carpet thing.
But every once in a while, especially with, you know, players that we love and support and root for and cover every day, like, I thought it was fun. I think it's a great idea that the Padres do that now. It's, what, 3 years in a row moving forward? Michael, I know you're in the chat. Maybe get us a table for next year.
Yeah, Michael's spending a lot of time in the chat.
Let's be good partners, huh? Come on.
And he's actually commenting on the question that we were just asking about whether you want to see the Padres really push in this year or whether it's better to save some of those chips maybe for next year. Will the circumstances be better for the Padres to make a deeper run in 2025 versus 2024? And Goose in the chat mentioned that he said, I just don't think the Padres can beat the Phillies. If you look at the Padres and who they have played well against, don't think they're going to run into the Angels or the Rockies in the playoffs. So really, they've done a good job handling everybody else that they faced other than the Phillies. Now, is that enough to say, well, maybe we should just back off? And, you know, this Phillies team is unbeatable. Phillies have looked unbeatable, though, the last couple of years. And then, ultimately, what happened? They got beat in the end. Yeah. They have a playoff track record of getting beat. The Dodgers are much more vulnerable than we thought they were. Padres are, what, 5-3 against the Dodgers this year so far? I mean, they certainly look like they can beat them in a series. They've done it a couple of times already. So if they met the Dodgers in the playoffs, I'm not feeling too bad about the Padres' chances. If they're meeting the Braves, who they took 3 out of 4 from in Atlanta, if they're meeting the Cardinals, I know they dropped 2 of 3, but they're not a scary team. If they meet the Brewers, they won the season series from the Brewers. If they match up against the NL Central champs, if there's only one team that you're really afraid of, that's actually a pretty good circumstance to go for it. That's not a reason to back off. That's a reason to go, this thing is wide open.
I was just going to say that. Yes, there is one team that is, as of right now, kind of standing above the rest.
For
and
sure.
That's the Philadelphia Phillies. Yes, they have had our number. But I don't think you let that stop you from, if the direction that AJ wants to go is push his chips all in, and Ray says in the chat, we're already all in. Like, you pushed your chips in with Arise and getting Cease as well. Now, you didn't push all your chips in. You still, of course, have Salas, DeVries, Snelling, Lesko, etc. But you've already committed, so there's no turning back. And this isn't one of those years where there's 4 juggernauts in the National League. There's 1. And on paper, I guess, too, with the Dodgers, but they just have not played on the field as well as everybody thought they would on paper heading into this season. So you can't let one team that's starting to run away with the National League scare you away, because you get into the dance, anything's possible. They could get outed by the Mets or something in the first round. You know, you may not even face the Phillies.
And you could wait until next year, and there could be 2 or 3 juggernauts all of a sudden standing in your way as well. So that's an argument to go for it. I wonder what you have to say out there. 833-288-0973. Go out to the phones. Let's see. Is this Doug?
Yes, it is.
Doug, welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's kind of off the top of my head, so I haven't really thought it through quite well, but basically my idea is what trade away your very best player and very worst player, because your very worst player is not performing, and your very best player, it may be hindered by the fact that your very worst player is, you know, stopping rallies or getting a second out when, you know, things could be better. So my take is, take your worst player, take your best player, trade them away for two, not all-star, not, you know, not megastars, but just two very decent, consistent players. Maybe not, you know, not top of the line, but something, you know, in the middle.
All right, Doug, I'm going to be gentle here because you did admit it, that you hadn't totally thought that out. No one wants your worst player, so you can't trade your worst player. Now, you could trade a good player for two mediocre players and then just cut your worst player and add them to the roster. But what the Padres really need right now is more frontline pitching help, top of the bullpen help. And they're going to get that not likely by trading any of their current players. They're going to get it by trading their top prospects.
Yes.
Whether that is DeVries and Salas, or whether there's teams that are interested in Lesko or Snelling, or maybe, you know, there are other prospects that other teams have an eye on that AJ Preller might be able to deal here at the deadline. Whoever they are, their value in your organization. And if you trade them now, you won't have them in the offseason or next season to trade them. You can only trade them once, unless you get them back and then you can trade them again, which if anyone is going to do, it's probably going to be AJ Preller. But for the purposes of this discussion, you can only trade these prospects once. And once they're gone, they're gone, and you can't use them again. Now, you can draft more and try to build them up, but that takes time and resources and draft picks to do that. Padres have a draft coming up on Sunday. They're going to have to hit again, you know, to either restock what they're about to trade away or to build up more depth and, you know, hopefully find another Jackson Merrill, who in a couple of years will make it. Now, you could have traded Jackson Merrill last year, you know, as part of your run. You didn't. You could have gotten someone better, I promise you, than Rich Hill and G-Man Choi if you had decided to trade Jackson Merrill last year.
Right.
Yep. Where would you be right now, though? Sometimes the smart decision is to hold on to those players and be patient and wait for them to come up and start helping your team. Because I promise you, no one would be happy right now if the Padres had traded Jackson Merrill and he was a Rookie of the Year candidate with another team. And you're going, oh, we let another one get away.
That would have hurt.
It's tough enough right now to see. Abrams at the All-Star game. Mackenzie Gore lost last night, but has been pitching pretty well for the Washington Nationals. They've made, obviously, tons of other deals. Some have worked out. Some have not worked out. You know, the deal with the Mariners in 2020, we don't need to go over again how awful that one looks. Again, Andrés Muñoz, who closed out the game, has been a terrific relief pitcher. You know, Ty France has been productive for them. Padres got Austin Nola, obviously. You know, he caught for a while, but never was the same Austin Nola that they picked up from Seattle. That was a bad deal that was made at the trade deadline. And Craig has made the point many times that usually AJ's best deals come in the offseason. And the ones that we tend to not like and regret, they come here in July at the trade deadline. Now, that doesn't mean that the next one's going to be bad, but it does mean that the decision-making that he's done at this point in the season has not been his best work so far. His best work comes in December and January.
Yeah, like Christmas Eve. Oh, you want Darvish
Christmas Eve trade for Darvish looks like a fantastic trade right now.
Don't even remember who we gave up.
Deadline deal for Austin Nola, not looking as smart. Rich Hill, G-Man Choi, doesn't feel as good with the trades that were made in season. So you got to keep that in mind as well.
Even the ones that looked good weren't good. Adam Frazier looked like a good trade.
Bad.
Didn't do anything.
Did not work out at all for the San Diego Padres.
Mike Clevinger, we thought, was going to come in and be that ace. No. Nothing.
All right, let's take a timeout. If you want to get on the phones again, 833-288-0973. Paulie's also got some headlines. We'll do an early Rindle report because don't forget, top of the hour, Mike Schilt with the manager's report. Join us here before the end of the first half of the season and the start of tonight's series against the Atlanta Braves. It's all coming up on Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So I kind of realized I never really gave you my full opinion on whether I think the Padres should or should not, you know, push their chips in and go for it. And ultimately, I do think this team is good enough to make a run. It would be better with another player or two, another pitcher or two. And if the Padres want to go for it in that sense and think that they can get the right deal by trading one of their top prospects, Salas or DeVries, I'm okay with that. I don't think that it's necessarily short-sighted. This team is good enough to invest in the present. Now, I would love it if they can pick up someone who is also going to help them next year. Because next year...
that's what they've already done with Cease and Arise.
Yes.
They're not rentals.
And they've done that with other pickups at the deadline at times as well. Soto, the plan was 2.5 seasons. Turned out to be 1.5 seasons. But it wasn't just a rental for a couple of months. Now, you know, Hill, G-Man, Choi, those were pure rentals. Garrett Cooper, pure rental. I don't think you can give up a top prospect for a pure rental for 2 months. Maybe lower level prospects, sure. This team's good enough to do that. But if there is a deal on the table, helps you the rest of this season and helps you, you know, hopefully next year and maybe the year after, you can consider doing it. You're not just throwing it away at a team that has no hope, because I do think this team has hope. There's not that much standing in their way. There's a Phillies team that's really good but has, you know, hit a wall in the playoffs the last couple of years. Just all of a sudden, they looked unbeatable, and then the next day, and then we lose 4 in a row, and we're done. It can happen to them again, absolutely. The Dodgers are gettable. The Brewers are gettable. There's no team that completely scares me other than the Phillies a little bit.
I'm looking at it a little bit, you know, to kind of cross sports here. San Diego State basketball has had a couple of years where the Blue Bloods, the powerhouses, were having down years.
Yeah.
Oh. 2020 was one of them.
That was a great year to do it.
That tournament ended up getting canceled due to COVID.
They should have made a trade in 2020.
A couple years ago, when they'd made it to the championship game, that was another year where you beat the best team in the country in Alabama in the tournament, and looking around, like, Duke was nothing. Kansas was nothing. North Carolina, like, all of these schools, these powerhouses.
2011 in Kawhi's year. I mean, they could have, I mean, Connecticut won the title. They could have beaten Connecticut in that game in Anaheim.
And so to bring it back to the Padres, this is similar in the sense that, yeah, there's one team that is standing above everybody else in the Phillies, but the Dodgers aren't the juggernauts everyone thought they were going to be. Typically, you would have, you know, you would have expected the Dodgers to be running away, the Phillies, you know, a healthy Braves team.
Yep.
Like, you never, and then maybe a surprise team that's in the mix and won't go away.
There's not three or four powerhouses in the National League right now.
If you can hang with Philly in a 7-game series, like, it's out there for the taking. And somebody said, well, you know, the problem is the American League teams are who we struggle with. You know what? That means we're in the World Series. So I'll be okay. I'll take my chances.
I don't know. Boston's doing really well right now in the American League. 10 games above .500, I think. You just took 2 of 3 at Fenway. Yeah, you lost 2 of 3 to the Yankees, but that was the Yankees team that was red hot a month ago. This Yankees team now, they can't do anything at the moment. So I don't know that the American League teams are overly scary at the moment either. Baltimore is even struggling. They just got swept this week by the Cubs. Cubs, you know, reeling Cubs team just gave up 2 runs in 3 games, including back-to-back shutouts to the Orioles. Everybody is vulnerable right now in Major League Baseball. Let's get another phone call or two in before the Rindle Report. We got Chris holding on. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to know, before I get into this, where are we at with Musgrove and Darvish and, you know, Tatis? I mean, and, you know, are we getting those guys back, or what's going to happen with them?
Yeah, good question. We don't really know. Yu Darvish is a mystery on the restricted list, dealing with, you know, family issue. I think health-wise he was on the right track, but he can't really make any progress until he comes back to the team. We don't know when that's happening. We did have a decent report on Joe Musgrove, who threw off the front of the mound. So he threw like 80% off a slope. Don't know how he reacted to that, but Mike Schilt seems to think that he's taken every step, but he won't be back until August. And Tatis's timetable remains pretty much a mystery as well. I mean, could be at the end of July, could be in the middle of August, might not be until September. You just have to wait for that stress reaction to heal itself. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it would help a lot to get those guys back and Tatis back, but I don't think you can wait around, Chris, and just hope that those guys are going to be saving your season.
Right. Yeah, no, you've hung through the injuries so far this year, whether it was Manny, Tatis, Musgrove, Darvish. Like, you've hung around. I wouldn't let that uncertainty of those players returning. When will they return? What will they look like when they return? I wouldn't let that deter you at all if you're AJ Preller and looking to make some moves here in the next couple of weeks.
All right. We got Mike Schilt coming up at the top of the hour, so let's get enough time for some of Paulie's headlines. Got the Rhino Report coming up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rhino Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right,
Paulie.
We will start off in Major League Baseball.
Breaking news.
We got some breaking news. Yeah, if you were with us earlier this morning, we had our buddies Jake and Jordan from Cespedes Family Barbecue Podcast on the show at 6:45, and they are in Dallas, here in Dallas, getting ready for the All-Star Game and the festivities, and we were talking about, should Paul Skeens, the rookie phenom, who's made, what, 11 starts?
Yeah, didn't debut until May.
Yeah, should he start the All-Star Game? I said, hell yes. That is going to be the best thing for the sport. That's going to get the most attention, the most eyeballs tuning in to see him in the first inning going up against the best of the American League, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, etc. And Jake and Jordan both said, yeah, I agree, but you know, history says, like, you got to earn it, and there's more deserving guys. A lot of people, you know, Ranger Suarez. Well, it has been announced here just in the last few minutes. Paul Skeens has been named the starting pitcher for the National League in next Tuesday's All-Star Game.
It's actually kind of a no-brainer when you think about
it.
I mean, if the best choices are Ranger Suarez, or I've heard Chris Sale would be a good story, bounce back, but Sale is supposed to be pitching on Sunday, which makes him ineligible to pitch in the All-Star Game. Really makes it,
a pretty easy
decision here. And I don't know if it's actually Torrey Lovullo who gets to make that call or how they decide it. But I will tune in, even if you're not a huge baseball All-Star Game fan. Come on. People are going to tune in to see Paul Skeens and Jeff Passan tweets likely to face Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge.
Come on.
In the bottom of the first inning on Tuesday night. That's a must-see TV right there. That's what an All-Star Game is about. Haven't seen him against those guys. Get a chance to face the best of the best. Just through 7 no-hit innings, so everyone's talking about Paul Skeens. This is how you get eyeballs to your All-Star Game. Not with Ranger Suarez or Chris Sale.
Right. So the announcement, I guess, I saw it was credited to the Dan Patrick Show is where the announcement was made. So when I went to the Dan Patrick Show's social media, he airs on Peacock. Shows his
really?
Show on Peacock now. I did not know that. His guest today was Paul Skeens. So I guess you probably heard it straight from the horse's mouth moments ago.
Do we trust Paul Skeens? Probably.
I would. I think he would be in the know of whether or not he was starting in the All-Star game or not.
Libby Dunn will probably be there supporting. She's returning to LSU for another season of gymnastics, I believe.
Yes.
Saw that.
One more year. Going to run it back.
She makes a lot of money on social media, I've heard. They're doing well as a couple. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah.
Doing quite well as a couple.
Yeah, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Teammates with Robert Suarez and Luis Arraez and Jackson Merrill and Jurickson Profar. Paul Skeens.
Had a wild story yesterday in baseball. There was a kid who placed a bet on one of the apps. He placed a prop bet for Eugenio Suarez to hit a home run yesterday. And those are typically
it's not like saying, I think Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge is going to hit
like
a home
run. I mean, even then, it's still to predict it. It's still like a plus, like Aaron Judge would be like a plus 250 odds, which are good. Not great, but good for a home run. A guy like Suarez, I think, was like 400, plus 400 odds. Stretch.
You expect one every 5 days or something like that.
Right.
It's not guaranteed.
I stay away from those. I've made some money. Like, I made a decent amount of money on Juan Soto's first game back in Petco Park. That was the easiest plus two.
Kyle Schwarber hitting a home run against the Padres.
Against the Padres.
Yeah, it feels pretty.
So you can place that. So he placed the bet, and Eugenio Suarez hit the home run. So he cashed out. I think it was $40 or $50. He turned into $400.
Nice. But that's not a Rindle Report story, though. No. That does not rise to the level of Rindle Report.
It rose to the level of the Rindle Report because, and I will show it here if you're watching us on our stream, the kid that placed the bet caught the home run ball.
That is, and everyone's like, quite the coincidence.
What were the odds on that? You know, I'm going to place $20 on Suarez to hit a home run, and I'm going to catch it. That's got to be, that would be plus 10,000.
Way more than that. I mean, you may catch a home run ball, what, once in your life if you're lucky? You sit out there regularly, yeah. Maybe once. I mean, that's like Powerball stuff.
I mean, he's sitting there. If you're just listening, he's holding the ball in one hand. He's got his phone in the other, showing the receipts, showing the bet that was placed. I can't believe that.
All right. If we were like one of those shows with an unlimited budget, we fly him to Petco Park tonight, have him place, a bet on, who, Jackson Merrill hitting a home run, sit him out in right field somewhere and see if we can duplicate that.
Fine by me.
I don't think we have the budget for that.
Make it happen. All right. And then finally, it is, we talked earlier, it's National Etch-a-Sketch Day. It's also National French Fry Day.
I will partake. I'm happy to partake in French fries.
So with National French Fry Day, like yesterday was a 7-Eleven day. You can go get your free Slurpee. I'm just here. This is a little news you can use. Where can you get free French fries today or maybe even this weekend? We'll start with the Golden Arches, Mickey D's. Best fast food fries?
Yeah, I still think they're number one. I mean, there are some worthy competitors with different styles. I like Five Guys fries, but they're pricier.
Yeah.
McDonald's, now, if Padres win in the app, you can get free fries the next day.
It's true.
Any day, not just on National Friday.
I like
In-N-Out
fries.
Of course, they haven't won all week, so this is a little cheat code today.
I like In-N-Out fries. Have to eat them immediately.
Immediately, yes. I also...
They are elite.
Within 2 minutes, In-N-Out fries are among the best. After about 3 minutes, might as well throw them
you
away.
You can't run through the drive-thru and go home and eat them.
No. They're gone. Like, if I go and get fries, like, In-N-Out for the kids, and I get some for myself... My fries are gone before I get home because if I wait. Now, you can mitigate it a little bit by getting the box as opposed to the bag. You put them in the bag and steam them, they're done.
Oh, God,
absolutely
yeah.
Done.
Soggy. So you can go to McDonald's. If you get the McDonald's app, you get a free medium order of fries with any purchase of a dollar or more today. And then every Friday through the end of the year. And then they're also going to be giving away any...
Friday. Get it? Friday.
Friday. And then also tomorrow, McDonald's is giving away any size order of fries free, no purchase necessary in the McDonald's app. Burger King is giving away free fries. You got to be a member of their Royal Perks loyalty program. Again, just assume you're going to have to download the app and sign up with an email address, but you can get some free fries there. Taco Bell is giving away their Nacho Fries Lovers Pass. That's through their royalty program or their rewards program. KFC has the free secret recipe fries on Friday. And that is a free order of those fries with any online purchase made through their app.
What about the waffle cut fries at Chick-fil-A? Oh. I like those.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are pretty tasty.
Those are really good.
Different sort of ball game, but still very good.
Yeah. So enjoy National Fry Day. It's a fry day.
I bet Mike Schilt would like a few French fries. He's a man of simple tastes sometimes.
Let's ask him.
Chipotle
best,
fries?
Best fast food fries?
All right, we can ask him on National Friday.
On Ben and Woods.
Ask him about last night's dinner on the Diamond. He was there, got to speak a little bit. I get his impressions of last night's event. And, of course, we'll talk about the week that was. And there was some good because we didn't talk to him last Friday. So got the walk-off last Friday night. We can talk about that. The struggles this week, the series against the Atlanta Braves, everything up for grabs here coming up on a Fryer Friday with the manager's report. Mike Schilt going to be joining us coming up at the top of the hour here as the Padres return from a couple days off. They had Monday and Thursday off, so they should be fairly well rested at least coming into this series against the Atlanta Braves. All right, don't go away. Mike Schilt joins Ben and Paulie coming up next year. On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We will be right back. So I kind of realized I never really gave you my full opinion on whether I think the Padres should or should not, you know, push their chips in and go for it. And ultimately, I do think this team is good enough to make a run. It would be better with another player or two, another pitcher or two. And if the Padres want to go for it in that sense and think that they can get the right deal by trading one of their top prospects, Salas or DeVries, I'm okay with that. I don't think that it's necessarily short-sighted. This team is good enough to invest in the present. Now, I would love it if they can pick up someone who is also going to help them next year. Because next year...
that's what they've already done with Cease and Arise.
Yes.
They're not rentals.
And they've done that with other pickups at the deadline at times as well. Soto, the plan was 2.5 seasons. Turned out to be 1.5 seasons. But it wasn't just a rental for a couple of months. Now, you know, Hill, G-Man Choi, those were pure rentals. Garrett Cooper, pure rental. I don't think you can give up a top prospect for a pure rental. For 2 months. Maybe lower level prospects, sure. This team's good enough to do that. But if there is a deal on the table, helps you the rest of this season, and helps you, you know, hopefully next year and maybe the year after, you can consider doing it. You're not just throwing it away at a team that has no hope. Because I do think this team has hope. There's not that much standing in their way. There's a Phillies team that's really good, but has, you know, hit a wall in the playoffs the last couple of years. Just all of a sudden, they looked unbeatable, and then the next day, and then we lose 4 in a row and we're done. It can happen to them again, absolutely. The Dodgers are gettable. The Brewers are gettable. There's no team that completely scares me other than the Phillies a little bit.
I'm looking at it a little bit, you know, to kind of cross sports here. San Diego State basketball has had a couple of years where the Blue Bloods, the powerhouses, were having down years.
Yeah.
Oh. 2020 was one of them.
That was a great year to do it.
That tournament ended up getting canceled due to COVID.
They should have made a trade in 2020.
A couple years ago, when they'd made it to the championship game, that was another year where you beat the best team in the country in Alabama in the tournament, and looking around, like, Duke was nothing. Kansas was nothing. North Carolina, like, all of these schools, these powerhouses.
2011 in Kawhi's year. I mean, Connecticut won the title. They could have beaten Connecticut in that game in Anaheim.
And so to bring it back to the Padres, this is similar in the sense that, yeah, there's one team that is standing above everybody else in the Phillies, but the Dodgers aren't the juggernauts everyone thought they were going to be. Typically, you would have expected the Dodgers to be running away, the Phillies, you know, a healthy Braves team.
Yep.
Like, you never, and then maybe a surprise team that's in the mix and won't go away.
There's not three or four powerhouses in the National League right now.
If you can hang with Philly in a 7-game series, like, it's out there for the taking. And somebody said, well, you know, the problem is the American League teams are who we struggle with. You know what? That means we're in the World Series. So I'll be okay. I'll take my chances.
I don't know. Boston's doing really well right now in the American League. 10 games above .500, I think. You just took 2 of 3 at Fenway. Yeah, you lost 2 of 3 to the Yankees, but that was the Yankees team that was red hot a month ago. This Yankees team now, they can't do anything at the moment. So I don't know that the American League teams are overly scary at the moment either. Baltimore is even struggling. They just got swept this week by the Cubs. Reeling Cubs team just gave up 2 runs in 3 games, including back-to-back shutouts to the Orioles. Everybody is vulnerable right now in Major League Baseball. Let's get another phone call or two in before the Rindle Report. We got Chris holding on. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to know, before I get into this, where are we at with Musgrove and Darvish and, you know, Tatis? I mean, and, you know, are we getting those guys back, or what's going to happen with them?
Yeah, good question. We don't really know. Yu Darvish is a mystery on the restricted list, dealing with, you know, family issue. I think health-wise he was on the right track, but he can't really make any progress until he comes back to the team. We don't know when that's happening. We did have a decent report on Joe Musgrove, who threw off the front of the mound. So he threw like 80% off a slope. Don't know how he reacted to that, but Mike Schilt seems to think that he's taken every step, but he won't be back until August. And Tatis's timetable remains pretty much a mystery as well. I mean, could be at the end of July, could be in the middle of August, might not be until September. You just have to wait for that stress reaction to heal itself. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it would help a lot to get those guys back and Tatis back, but I don't think you can wait around, Chris, and just hope that those guys are going to be saving your season.
Right. Yeah, no, you've hung through the injuries so far this year, whether it was Manny, Tatis, Musgrove, Darvish. Like, you've hung around. I wouldn't let that uncertainty of those players returning, when will they return, what will they look like when they return, I wouldn't let that deter you at all if you're AJ Preller and looking to make some moves here in the next couple of weeks.
All right, we got Mike Schilt coming up at the top of the hour, so let's get enough time for some of Paulie's headlines. Got the Rindle Report coming up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition The Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right, Paulie.
We will start off in Major League Baseball.
Breaking news.
We got some breaking news. Yeah, if you were with us earlier this morning, we had our buddies Jake and Jordan from Cespedes Family Barbecue Podcast on the show at 6:45, and they are in Dallas, here in Dallas, getting ready for the All-Star Game and the festivities, and we were talking about, should Paul Skenes, the rookie phenom, who's made, what, 11 starts?
Yeah, didn't debut until May.
Yeah, should he start the All-Star Game? I said, hell yes. That is going to be the best thing for the sport. That's going to get the most attention, the most eyeballs tuning in to see him in the first inning going up against the best of the American League, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, etc. And Jake and Jordan both said, yeah, I agree, but... you know, history says, like, you got to earn it, and there's more deserving guys. A lot of people, you know, Ranger Suarez. Well, it has been announced here just in the last few minutes. Paul Skenes has been named the starting pitcher for the National League in next Tuesday's All-Star Game.
It's actually kind of a no-brainer when you think about it. I mean, if the best choices are Ranger Suarez, or I've heard Chris Sale would be a good story, bounce back, but Sale... he's supposed to be pitching on Sunday, which makes him ineligible to pitch in the All-Star Game. Really makes it,
a pretty easy decision
here. And I don't know if it's actually Torrey Lovullo who gets to make that call or how they decide it. But I will tune in, even if you're not a huge baseball All-Star Game fan. Come on. People are going to tune in to see Paul Skenes and Jeff Passan tweets likely to face Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge.
Come on.
In the bottom of the first inning on Tuesday night. That's a must-see TV right there. That's what an All-Star Game is about. Haven't seen him against those guys. Get a chance to face the best of the best. Just through 7 no-hit innings, so everyone's talking about Paul Skenes. This is how you get eyeballs to your All-Star Game. Not with Ranger Suarez or Chris Sale.
Right. So the announcement, I guess, I saw it was credited to the Dan Patrick Show is where the announcement was made. So when I went to the Dan Patrick Show's social media, he airs on Peacock. Shows his
really?
Show on Peacock now. I did not know that. His guest today was Paul Skenes. So I guess you probably heard it straight from the horse's mouth moments ago.
Do we trust Paul Skenes? Probably.
I would. I think he would be in the know of whether or not he was starting in the All-Star Game or not.
Libby Dunn will probably be there supporting. She's returning to LSU for another season of gymnastics, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Saw that.
One more year. Going to run it back.
She makes a lot of money on social media, I've heard. They're doing well as a couple. Let's say that.
Oh, yeah.
Doing quite well as a couple.
Yeah, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Teammates with Robert Suarez and... Luis Arraez and Jackson Merrill and Jurickson Profar. Paul Skenes.
Had a wild story yesterday in baseball. There was a kid who placed a bet on one of the apps. He placed a prop bet for Eugenio Suarez to hit a home run yesterday. And those are typically
it's not like saying, I think Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge is going to hit
like
a home
Aaron
run.
I mean, even then, it's still to predict it. It's still like a plus, like Aaron Judge would be like a plus 250 odds, which are good. not great, but good for a home run. A guy like Suarez, I think, was like 400 plus 400 odds. Stretch.
You expect one every 5 days or something like that.
Right.
It's not guaranteed.
I stay away from those. I've made some money. Like, I made a decent amount of money on Juan Soto's first game back in Petco Park. That was the easiest plus two.
Kyle Schwarber
bet.
Hitting a home run against the Padres.
Yeah, it
feels pretty.
So you can place that. So he placed the bet, and Eugenio Suarez hit the home run. So he cashed out. I think it was $40 or $50. He turned into 400.
Nice.
But
that's not a Randall Report story, though. No. That does not rise to the level of Randall Report.
It rose to the level of the Randall Report because, and I will show it here if you're watching us on our stream, the kid that placed the bet caught the home run ball.
That is,
and everyone's like,
quite the coincidence.
What were the odds on that? You know, I'm going to place $20 on Suarez to hit a home run, and I'm going to catch it. That's got to be, that would be plus 10,000.
Way more than that. I mean, you may catch a home run ball, what, once in your life if you're lucky? You sit out there regularly,
yeah.
Maybe once. I mean, that's like Powerball stuff.
I mean, he's sitting there. If you're just listening, he's holding the ball in one hand. He's got his phone in the other, showing the receipts, showing the bet that was placed. I can't believe that.
All right. If we were like one of those shows with an unlimited budget, we fly him to Petco Park tonight, have him place, a bet on Jackson Merrill hitting a home run, sit him out in right field somewhere and see if we could duplicate that.
Fine by me.
I don't think we have the budget for that.
Make it happen. All right. And then finally, it is, we talked earlier, it's National Etch-a-Sketch Day. It's also National French Fry Day.
I will partake. I'm happy to partake in French fries.
So with National French Fry Day, like yesterday was 7-Eleven Day. You can go get your free Slurpee. I'm just here. This is a little news you can use. Where can you get free French fries today or maybe even this weekend? We'll start with the Golden Arches, Mickey D's. Best fast food fries?
Yeah, I still think they're number one. I mean, there are some worthy competitors with different styles. I like Five Guys fries, but they're pricier.
Yeah.
McDonald's, now, if Padres win in the app, you can get free fries the next day.
It's true.
Any day, not just on National Friday.
I like
In-N-Out
fries.
Of course, they haven't won all week, so this is a little cheat code today.
I like In-N-Out fries. Have to eat them immediately.
Immediately, yes. I also...
They are elite.
Within 2 minutes, In-N-Out fries are among the best. After about 3 minutes, might as well throw them away.
You can't run through the drive-thru and go home and eat them.
No. They're gone. Like, if I go and get fries, like, In-N-Out for the kids, and I get some for myself... My fries are gone before I get home because if I wait. Now, you can mitigate it a little bit by getting the box as opposed to the bag. You put them in the bag and steam them, they're done.
Oh,
absolutely
God, yeah.
Done.
Soggy. So you can go to McDonald's. If you get the McDonald's app, you get a free medium order of fries with any purchase of $1 or more today. And then every Friday through the end of the year. And then they're also going to be giving away any...
Friday. Get it? Friday.
And then also tomorrow, McDonald's is giving away any size order of fries free, no purchase necessary in the McDonald's app. Burger King has given away free fries. You got to be a member of their Royal Perks loyalty program. Again, just assume you're going to have to download the app and sign up with an email address, but you can get some free fries there. Taco Bell is giving away their Nacho Fries Lovers Pass. That's through their royalty program or their rewards program. KFC has the free secret recipe fries on Fry Day. And that is a free order of those fries with any online purchase made through their app.
What about the waffle cut fries at Chick-fil-A? Oh. I like those.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are pretty tasty.
Those are really good.
Different sort of ball game, but still very good.
Yeah. So enjoy National Fry Day. It's a Fry Day.
I bet Mike Schilt would like a few French fries. He's a man of simple tastes sometimes.
Let's ask him.
Chipotle,
fries?
Best fast food fries? All right, we can ask him on National Friday.
On Ben and Woods.
Ask him about last night's dinner on the Diamond. He was there, got to speak a little bit. I get his impressions of last night's event. And, of course, we'll talk about the week that was. And there was some good because we didn't talk to him last Friday. So got the walk-off last Friday night. We can talk about that. The struggles this week, the series against the Atlanta Braves, everything up for grabs here coming up on a Fryer Friday with the Manager's Report. Mike Schilt going to be joining us coming up at the top of the hour here as the Padres return from a Well, a couple days off. They have Monday and Thursday off, so they should be fairly well-rested, at least, coming into this series against the Atlanta Braves. All right, don't go away. Mike Schilt joins Ben and Paulie coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We will be right back.